Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here on this December 21st, 2022. It is 10:32 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We are joined right now by our good friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Good morning, sir. Good
morning, James.
Always good to see you. How you been?
Oh, all right. For Wisconsin winter, we're not sick of it yet. We're thrilled with it either, but...
Rock, I always appreciate the time from you and the conversations that you and I have. Melissa and I were actually talking about you earlier today on and off air. You're one of our favorite people to talk to. We really appreciate that so much of not only what you do for our community, but honestly, your nature, the way you carry yourself, the way you carry these conversations. There is heart, but there is diligence to it, too, because that's the job. You have to have some compassion for what you do, but as a vet, as somebody who cares about the individuals that you're working with and everything, you do need to be diligent. You do need to fight for them and those things. So you really are perfect for the job, and we really appreciate what you do. And this time of year, it's a time of year to appreciate people. I wanted to get into mental health with you. I wanted to discuss that. That's certainly something that I imagine you deal with on an hourly basis, if not a daily basis, under the umbrella of mental health, something along those lines. It's a big topic and a big umbrella. Where would you like to start with that?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, it is the holiday season, and as such, and the weather, and especially now with COVID, one ramping up again, but still in our recent past, we all know people we loved and counted on that are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. So the holidays are a rough time for people. And some veterans who are all carrying some other mental health, maybe issues with them, depression, the economy on top of it for a lot of people, too. So it's hard. And mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that veterans know that there are health care options out there for them. We can get them in to talk to somebody because the stuff won't go away. I mean, and it's easy to say, it's hard to step up that you need help, but help is there. I mean, we've got, of course, we can't say enough about the National Suicide Hotline, 988. Switch to that now. Easy to remember for veterans. If they just press one after that, once it starts their route in there,
really,
it'll get them to veteran dedicated resources. But we also have the VA clinic here and the clinics throughout north central Wisconsin. They have mental health professionals. They the Toma VA, and to include along with, unfortunately, mental health, a lot of times substance, because mm-hmm. they seek answers there, mm-hmm. maybe. So they've got help with a substance abuse. There's always the county's crisis line, mm-hmm. and we get referrals, talk to them quite often when a veteran and we will wrap in then VA benefits. But you're also, as any citizen, the county is there with mental health assistance.
Yeah. So mental health is certainly something that we talk about a lot nowadays, I think most people can understand there's very few people out there that don't struggle with something under that umbrella.
Yeah.
And your day-to-day lives, no matter what your life or your childhood was like or anything like that, that you could have a perfect life and still have some mental health issues. And I think our society is getting a lot better about accepting of that, not treating that with a stigma and those things. But that's your citizens. When it comes to our veterans, it's a bit of a different ball game. Now, just doing some homework on this one and talking to some people that I know that are serving right now and some people who have served, I noticed something in those conversations, and I'm curious to know from your position, because you know a lot better than I would. it seems younger people who are serving right and can, you know, right now seem to be a little more open to the idea of seeking out help for mental health. Whereas some of our veterans, some people that are a little older, that maybe they have been out of public, they have been out of the service for a while, tend to be, their words, I can do this myself. Or I can handle this, or I can walk it off, essentially, if you will, like our old football coaches used to tell us and everything, you know, with the sprained ankle or something. And that's how we kind of treat this. Are you seeing that same type of thing where in your position?
Yes and no. I mean, one, we're much more aware of it now. Mm-hmm. But veterans, say, of the Vietnam era or during that time past, mm-hmm. since then, or World War II. I mean, they're still dealing with what they grew up and what they learned.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't unlearn things, and you've got that stigma.
Yeah.
There's still a big bit for the veterans, not the veterans, but the people in service currently, and some in positions outside. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of veterans have gone to law enforcement and whatever, and they feel, I mean, if they show that, that's going to end their career, that's going to
hold them back in some way.
Hold them back. Yeah. You know, there'll always be that stigma, well, is he going to be able to? So they hide it.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about the VA is we've got a program that's the Vet Center. Our counselor is currently out of La Crosse. They do a lot of video, but we also have a vacancy for a counselor up in Wausau, which would handle closer in. But they are really super confidential. Send a lot of people that are still serving, you know, across the street in the reserve component, not necessarily at this armory, but to them, because it is, you can't pry those records out of that. It's not in the normal healthcare system.
Sure,
unless you release it, you know, and we want to use that as evidence for a mental health or disability compensation. So that's a great resource we have, and they also do readjustment counseling, they do combat veterans, and they do a little topic I wanted to kind of lead into also is military sexual trauma.
Mm-hmm.
A big issue with both male and female veterans. I mean, you're in very strenuous duty assignments and things. You've got all these authoritarian people with lots of power, and unfortunately, we're all still human. And they're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
There's some bills and studies and changes to like the way the National Guard here in the state, as also nationally, handle these things. But still, if you're the victim, mm-hmm. And you don't want to share that.
Yeah.
It's hard to share that. It's hard to say, well, I'm a soldier. I'm supposed to be, you know, able to handle all this, but not. Well, you're also a victim. And that can lead to PTSD or depression. Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid, other things, unwanted pregnancies, all the whole ramification, you know, a whole ball of wax. And it's very hard to to face those demons also. And the VA has an MST program. They also have the Vet Center can help with those people just to see, you know, they take they take that first initial look and talk mm-hmm. about and maybe get you in a place where you can realize how it's affecting you and then make decisions on treatment, mm-hmm. which is, you know, trying to get the veteran or anybody to feel better.
Yeah.
But then there's also compensation, which our office works on also, where because, I mean, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's kind of like, in a weird analogy, diabetes. I mean, mm-hmm. you may be a diabetic, but that diabetes has so many downstream healthcare complications.
Right.
PTSD does the same thing.
Yes.
So it's...
I'm thankful that, again, going back to what I was saying earlier, this is part of the reason why we love talking with you, Rock. I appreciate the tone, but also the fact that you are willing to talk about this. It's a subject that does, part of the reason it's become a problem is because we don't talk about it, especially in the voices that you and I are. People may talk about it in the hushed voice over in the corner or something, but we got to talk about these things openly. We got to bring these things to the forefront. I was 7 years old when I was abused. And it was only until my early 30s before I started finally accepting that I was seven and I couldn't have fought this guy who was a teenager. There was nothing I could do in that situation. But up until my 30s, I was still begrudging to talk to people about this and face it myself, even looking in the mirror, because, well, my dad was a boxer. My dad was a hockey player. I was 7 years old and I knew how to box. I should have been able to handle myself. I should have been able to get out of that situation. That's a seven-year-old kid. I cannot imagine what a soldier, man or woman, might be going through in that moment, in that situation, coming out of a situation like that, and what you were saying before about this machismo that man, woman, we all carry, especially in the armed forces. It's part of how you're able to do that job. All the training, all the working out, all the things that it takes to be one of our fine soldiers, all that, and then something like that happens. And you've got to try to come to grips with the idea of, well, how this happened, why this happened, and immediately we are all hard on ourselves, and we immediately take this blame on, well, I did something, or what could I have done to prevent it, and all of this stuff leads to, you know, I'm going to need somebody to talk to. I'm going to need somebody to, you know, be able to,
right.
And it's important.
But the first thing is you deny it. No, I can handle this.
Right.
Or yes. You deny it. You repress it totally. You put it in that closet in your mind, and you're talking, you know, 23 years later, you say, well, maybe it's time to open that closet door.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes the closet door will burst open on you, too. So it's rough conversations. It's rough. But we're a safe place in our office if you just happen to be a veteran and this happened to you. We can start the conversation.
I don't like asking questions, putting people on the spot, so I apologize if you don't know the answer to this, Rock. Is there a statute of limitations when it comes to these actions? If something happened when you were in service in the 70s, are you able to bring it forward now, that kind of thing?
Oh, definitely not. As far as...
A statute of limitations.
As far as getting service connectability, compensation, getting enrolled in programs, there's not. Is there maybe trying to prosecute the... That's
not
my lane.
Right, that's a whole other conversation. I just meant the services that's good.
But yeah, no, it's one of the few things that is wide open for the VA because they realize that it's repressed so long. I mean, we can get people who in other ways would not be eligible for veterans programs, whether they were maybe just in the Guard and Reserve or maybe they had, you know, because maybe they fell apart and they got a dishonorable or other than honorable discharge because of the fact that they, you know, they started drinking because of the assault or started missing, not being a good soldier or sailor or airman. I don't know what they call the Space Force people now.
Yeah, I don't know
spacemen,
either.
Spacemen, I don't know.
maybe.
But because they just had their 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So they might not on any other realm be eligible to start working with the VA.
Yeah.
And that's where our job comes in, is to try to knock down those. There are some, you know. For years, those that were put out for sexual preference, gays and lesbians, were not eligible because they had bad paper. They're other than honorable. And turning those around, we can help with that, too, and get them back into the VA. That's another thing. Not just talking mental health or sexual trauma or whatever. The VA changes their rules all the time.
Yeah, it's something I know we've talked about.
And we talked about last time the PACT Act, and that's changed the rules drastically for people that were in all over in the Middle East and North Africa and whatever, but also some of the people that were in Thailand, Guam, American Samoa and a few other places during the Vietnam conflict. So those things are now, they may have been denied to get into VA healthcare 20 years ago. Mm. They need to come back to us and say, hey, has things changed? Am I maybe eligible now? What's going on? Because you don't know. I do this every day, and I don't know everything. But you don't know. You got an answer 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Come back and ask the same questions again, and we will explore it. The worst that can happen is no.
Yeah.
You know, and you're already there, so, I mean, that doesn't hurt you. Although, yeah, it can be a little painful coming in and talking to us sometimes. we're gonna ask you about, you know, a lot of personal stuff.
Mm.
Some of it, like we are talking about mental health, and it's not easy to talk about. It's not easy to take that first step to trust somebody, to let it out of your tight-fisted grasp that, you know, I'm not sharing this with anybody.
Yeah.
And that's one thing about the military, for sure. I mean, people have been called on to do a lot of things that have a lot of things that have been done to them,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to share that necessarily with your loved ones. You know?
Yeah.
Well, we love you, and you can share it with us. We're not loved ones, but we've got compassion. My staff, we are blessed with the people that work with me.
We really got a great team over there.
And we're all different. We've got Lita, who I tried to drag in here.
One of these days, she's going to have to come in here. She's going to have to.
But she had an appointment set up with a veteran and whatever. So we have a female veteran, and we're all service-connected disabled veterans to one extent or another for many personal things, you know. Meaning you've got no business to know about my disabilities.
Right.
Or Lita's, or Ben's, or Jason's, but we've all walked through that path of filing a claim and doing whatever, and we do it every day. Come and see us.
Yeah, and I got to say, Lita, Ben, Jason, everybody, yourself, everybody over there, very easy to talk to, too. And when we're talking about this subject, I can't guarantee that they will have service that can help, but I can guarantee that talking about it does help. Putting these things to voice, getting them out of your head and out in the open and everything, sometimes that can be one of the biggest helps that you can get. It's just being able to talk to somebody, let alone finding out what services might be available for you.
And just like the point I was trying to get at, just like a counselor, you got to click with them.
Yeah.
And I click with a lot of people, but I don't click with some.
Mm-hmm.
Lita, and one, she's a female, and whether you're a male or female, sometimes you prefer to talk to a female about what's going on with you, as opposed to, you know, sharing that with Ben or myself,
mm-hmm.
Or Jason. We don't feel bad about that. I mean, you know, I don't even feel bad if you don't like me, and it's not because I'm a male; it's just because I'm a jerk sometimes.
I can relate to this. Yes, I can relate to that.
But you know, we've got other people, and we're big enough. In our own, you know, we've been doing this all long enough. Me coming up on 20 years, Lita's got 5, Ben's got 4. So that it's okay that you don't click with me.
Sure.
Because we're here only to help you. So talk to, and we've got different bedside manners or couch or whatever. We're not counselors. None of us are counselors. But
it's nice to be able to offer people options, though. If they don't feel comfortable talking to a guy, maybe talking to a woman, or vice versa, or whatever the case might be. We'll give them the information of how to reach you when we wrap up the show. We got to take a quick minute break. We'll do that and come back with Rock Larson here on Morning Magazine at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the Morning Magazine here on WFHR, locally grown radio. We are sitting back talking with Rock Larson right now, Wood County Veteran Services Officer. And Rock, again, thank you for the time. Appreciate you being here today. I wanted to talk about Camp Lejeune with you. If we can go ahead and dive into that big topic. We don't even have like 30 minutes to talk about it, but if we can go ahead and get into that one.
Okay. Well, as part of the recent legislation, exposure to toxics, one portion was kind of odd. The Camp Lejeune Justice Act. And what that's about, you've got to have seen the ads. Congress has allowed for one time on this topic, people to sue for that toxic exposure. They have to have a disability linked to all the bad chemicals that were in the water at Camp Lejeune for the period, and they had to have been working or living on Camp Lejeune during that period, which is from the 50s through the early 80s. I can't remember the exact dates. But the odd part about this is the sharks are swimming in the water. These you hear all these ads from these law offices. Well, besides that, there's a presumptive VA disability claim option for veterans, not necessarily the families of veterans or people who worked on the base that were DOD or civilian, you know, like the person working at the Burger King on base or whatever they had there. But so this toxic water, all sorts of health concerns linked with that. Now, the VA will help the family members with certain medical related to that, but the ads you're seeing are for law firms to sue the federal government on your behalf. Now, these people, there's no regulation in that bill on how much they can charge you. And they charge all sorts of weird things. It goes from like 20 to 70% of whatever you're awarded. Then plus fees. That are, you know, or expenses, I think. Fees and expenses that they use to file your claim. So it's humongous. So if you're going that route, and you know, for some people it's the right route if you were a civilian contractor on the base or family member, but shop around. You don't want to be paying the guy who wants 70% of, you know, they don't charge you anything up front. But if they win, they're going to take the bulk of it. So you want to read the fine print and understand that and shop around. There is some provisions in the bill that I don't yet understand, and I don't think anyone understands. Senator Baldwin's staff just sent me a fact sheet yesterday, which made no sense. Not that their fault, they didn't make the fact
sheet. But it's
we're all trying to get a grasp around this stuff. It takes a long time to figure out what Congress has meant by a certain bill. If you were to get a VA disability for that claim also, before you received a penny, you would have to pay back everything you got in the lawsuit and everything you paid the attorney in the lawsuit before you get anything compensation from the VA. So maybe going the VA route first might be the, or at least talking to somebody about filing a VA claim might be the wiser step first. Because one, the VA isn't going to take any of it, and it opens up other doors. Then there's something in the law that I really don't understand, and I just took a course from the American Legion and their law firm that they contract that do appeals with, which is also doing some of these, and they've limited their things to 30% including fees for those people that are just maybe not, the VA isn't the right way going through the tort, the lawsuit is. But there's something about Medicaid and Medicare also recovery of things from that. So I don't know if it's if you're going to see, for instance, Parkinson's, I believe, is a Camp Lejeune presumptive. Bladder cancer, I believe, is also. I can't remember the exact list of them all. That's why I've got books and and the internet. But if you were to go to Medicaid to receive, or Medicare for treatment on that, it, you know, it may, one of the things that it might be, because I really don't know the fine details of this, is that you have to pay back that $20,000, $70,000, $1 million, whatever the dollar amounts end up being, before they're going to use that other federal benefit to pay for your treatment. I don't know if that's, but I'm assuming, because Medicare and Medicaid, the only thing that they deal with is medical payments, that that would be the thought process of Congress. So it's definitely a buyer beware market in this. Do your definitely do your shopping around.
Yeah, you got to do your questions due diligence on this one.
But it's only for, you know, it's a time-based, you know, expires. It's not going to go on forever, this window to sue.
But don't let them take the attorneys take advantage of that either. So, you know, knowing, you know, going to trusted law firms, going to trusted people and stuff, and especially asking other veterans if there are people that they would recommend, I think is a good idea, and reaching out to you guys.
There's not a lot that do, in Wisconsin, do federal tort lawsuits. But definitely the people that are advertising on late night TV and during afternoon TV and... I mean, there's like $1 billion worth of advertising out there already. So, I mean, that's what I meant by the sharks are swimming.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
watch out for them, you know.
Shop around. Yes. And you know, if you need be, I'm not recommending. I don't really know this company, but you can call our office and you can talk to them as one of the people to talk to down.
Yeah.
At least they are coming out and saying, hey, there's pitfalls here.
Yeah.
We're going to explain those pitfalls. We're going to be an honest broker because they also have this relationship with the American Legion.
If people do have questions, Rock, how can they reach you?
They can reach us. We're in the phone book under county government, if you even find a phone book nowadays. We're on the webs as if you go to the Wisconsin CVSO.
Yeah.
.org. You just search Wisconsin CVSOs. There'll be a link to find your CVSOs. But then our number is 715-421-8420.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find us anywhere. Search it. You'll find us.
Go to the Wood County website and you'll be able to find it right away. Rock, always appreciate the time with you. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about if Santa was a veteran or not.
I really don't know. I don't have a DD-214.
He
probably would have been in Charlemagne's or somebody's army back then. If he was.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Rock. Say hi to the rest of the team over there. Wishing you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Take care.
You too. Be safe.
You too.
It's weather's going to be weird out there.
You ain't kidding. Thank you, Rock. Appreciate you. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.